The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
I am here today with Rhea Golden. I want to talk about Starport. It's an adaptation from George R.R. Martin, right?
Correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I most certainly can. So George wrote this as a pilot. Like, you know, I don't know if you know a lot about his career as a writer, but he did a work in Hollywood on Beauty and the Beast and The Twilight Zone. And after that kind of puttered out, he did scripting, you know, did a bunch of pilots. And this is one of the pilots that was busted. It's a 1994 screenplay about a cop. It's like a cop show. So it's like NYPD Blue, but with aliens. Sure. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that they quashed it in 1994 because it would be hard to make.
Yeah,
it
budget
really
back then.
Expensive. Yeah. Yeah, budget back then and quality. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only so much you can sacrifice, whereas drawing it all is really easy and fun. So he gave it to me to adapt.
That's awesome. This is your second adaptation from George R.R. Martin.
Correct.
What is your relationship like with him? And, like, did you work with him during the process or?
Actually, I'm his art director. I work in the office with him. So
wow.
This is like, I went to school for 5 years in San Francisco. And I started working as his personal assistant and moved on to being an art director about 5 years ago. And this is him giving me a chance to actually do what I want to do, like my own art. So I'm massively appreciative.
That's really nice.
That
name helps people see your art.
It does. It also makes it feel like I've come kind of out of left field, though, because most of the conventions that I've been to and all the stuff that I've done is very much in the literary world with George. So this year I've been breaking out into actual Comic-Cons and talking with more artists, and it's just been really great.
I was looking at the artwork, and it looked really good. It reminded me a little bit of like maybe heavy metal.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that was one of your inspirations, or like what were your inspirations for your art?
Well, really I never, beautiful. My mom didn't let me read the magazine when I was younger, but certainly the cartoon.
Right, the movie.
Uh-huh, yeah, yes, most it, yeah. Definitely. All of that art, especially the two aliens who probably had a little too much to drink while they were driving. Love those guys. My major influences in comic books, I'm a traditional illustrator, but I definitely love comic books, would be Sam Heath all the way. His sort of weird push stylization of proportions really speaks to me. I don't copy it, but I definitely aspire towards it in my own fashion, of course. And as a child, I read all of Richard and Wendy Pini's ElfQuest. Massive influence on my style and how I block out stories, for sure.
What is the adaptation process like? Because I'm sure you have to condense it, and what is that like? How do you choose what to keep and what to?
It's super hardcore.
Yeah.
So the first piece that I did with George was a short story called The Meat House Man. Now, because I'm not a traditional writer, basically what I did was walk through the story and thumbnailed the whole thing out. And then wrote the script off of the thumbnails.
Oh,
so I'd be in there and I'd circle dialogue. I'd circle and highlight bits that I was gonna draw or I saw something in. And then I would just draw the whole thing out. Starport, because it was already a screenplay, was a lot easier to adapt. Mainly I just punched up the jokes to make them feel like they were more, you know, modern. Cut out a couple of helicopter scenes because I didn't want to draw helicopters that much. And then just drew it through. But I did it in the same process where I thumbnail the entire thing and then rewrite the script based on the thumbnail. In the future, I'd like to work with an actual author, though. Comic book author. I'm working with an author. But
yeah.
I do a lot of the work because, as we know, he's a little busy these days.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He's popular lately.
He is. So, yes. Yeah, no, I did the majority of the now work on that, besides showing him characters and being like, what do you think of the load?
Did he have input on
like
the art?
Yeah, a little bit. In the same amount as, like I said, I'm his art director, so I have like a weekly, monthly meeting with him, depending on how much stuff is on the plate. And I just throw it in there with the rest of our, you know, do you like this, Jamie?
Very
kind
cool.
of stuff.
When you actually draw the panels, and do you are you hand drawing them on paper, or are you doing digital, or both?
Both. So I'm a traditional artist by trait. I like traditional art, especially for the gestures of the first layer. But I get really nervous doing full panels, because like I'll do like two panels really well and then one panel sucky. So I developed, I think it's my own method. I'm not sure if other people do it this way or not, where I draw really loose, traditional, on graph paper, every single panel, separate. So I'm just like, this is this person's face doing this. This is the background, really loose. Then I take each one of those and build a page in Photoshop. That way, if I've drawn them a little too big, if I've made like a proportion wrong, I can fix it easily, and I can proportion the whole thing out to look lovely as a full page. And I, of course, lay them out side by side, make sure I've got good splash readability. Then I draw the whole thing on Cintiq in ClipArt Studio Manga. Yeah, so, Manga Studio ClipArt 5. That's
the one. Cool. So it's like a pre-visualization almost.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do you sell those original sketches or
something? I thought about it. I have a couple of them. It's just because they're so loose, I'm nervous that people won't want to buy them because they don't look like pretty, you know, like
fans of
Todd McFarlane pencils.
A napkin with a stick figure on it from you, probably.
I am saving them all.
You never know.
And I do usually bring them, but most of the time I bring them to show people the process. Like I'll bring my thumbnails, and then I'll bring the pencils, and then I'll bring the final pages and be like, that's how it goes. And the digital art thing has been a massive help on time. Just
do you color your own stuff?
So for Starport, considering it was 265 pages,
huge.
And what I, because I colored everything in the Meat House Man.
Okay.
That was 36 pages, and it took me almost a year. It took me like 9 months
to
do 36 pages all the way through. And because of that, I was like, yeah, no. I color about 20% of the pages, most of the splashes, the cover, stuff like that, that I could do for fun and feel like I was in that part of the process. But I mainly paid out a friend of mine who's actually, she's going to nursing school. She's trying to be a nurse, but she loves doing art. She, beautiful paintings, landscapes and stuff. She has a great sense. And we kind of have a matching style too, as far as pastel-y goodness. So I hired her out. And she's got full credit in the comic book, and I'm hoping that I can taunt her away from her, you know, tempt her away from being a full-time nurse to do another comic book.
Saving lives is important, but comic books.
I know, come on.
Right? Comic books. Graphic novels.
No, but thankfully I also have other friends in high school, from college, who would want to work with me if I get another. I'm definitely not ever going to do all of it all the way through. It's too much, especially with the demand from fans who kind of, you know, and that's fair enough. Like, you don't want to wait 3 years for each of your new comics.
No. Fans get impatient sometimes.
Yeah, your average of what you can get away with and what I think I as an artist could get away with if I was doing it full time, is about 150 pages a year.
Okay,
that seems about standard.
A page every couple days.
Yeah, exactly.
With weekends off.
Exactly. And that part's important.
Yeah, if you don't rest, you can't create.
Exactly.
Is there any chance in the future of you collaborating again with him?
With George?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I really want to do Starport 2. He's not going to be doing the writing for it again.
Okay.
Busy. Mm-hmm. but we would be utilizing his characters, and he would have, like, see the script and make sure that it isn't horrible, which we take his word. But I do have a couple of friends, one in particular, who's got an interesting idea for Starport 2. And another great thing about when I do Starport 2 is because we're starting from scratch. Like, Starport 1 is 265 pages, a lot. And it's a lot to ask a new fan to get into. But the reason that we had to do that is because it's a pilot show. So it's set up in 5 acts. So it's like kicking someone out in the middle of a theatrical play. Like, they're not going to come back if you kick them out, and they don't want to see it anymore. So for that one, I had no choice but to do all the arc. And I wanted to, like, give good homage to all the good dialogue and stuff like that. But for this new one, I can actually design it, so I'm producing 150 pages a year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you love what you do?
At the moment.
It's hard work, right?
It is. It's a lot of hard work, but seeing the final product is really what makes it magic. And meeting people who appreciate said final project is super magic. So it definitely is a recharge from the cave.
That's good. When you need to recharge, what is your happy place?
Happy place.
Yeah, what do you do to find joy?
Movies and friends. I'm a vidiot. I like movies and friends. Maybe a beer on the porch. Trying to get into hiking, but, you know.
That sounds like work. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. My happy place is with people who make me happy.
Good.
Yeah.
Where can people find your graphic novel?
just about anywhere fine books are sold. Because it's through Random House, it's not at a lot of comic book shops, okay, unfortunately.
So bookstores?
Amazon. Yeah. Amazon, for sure.
For sure.
If you want signed copy by myself and George, his private bookstore from Santa Fe called the John Cocteau Cinema Bookstore has copies of not only my lovely comic book, both of them, but other titles that are all signed by the author.
Is that online as well?
It is. Like I said, John Cocteau. John Cocteau Bookstore.
Nice. Okay, we'll check that out. Thank you so much for talking with
us today. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
It was awesome.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.